Well, good morning once again, and again, welcome to Living Water Church. We're in our Advent season, and we're in the second week of it, as we're looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, the Christ child. And so each week as we're heading towards Christmas Eve service, we're looking at three different people that foreshadowed this coming Christ child, this Messiah who is going to be born. Last week we talked about Isaac and how Isaac is a type of Jesus and a type of Messiah. It's a picture of who Jesus will be. He foreshadowed who Jesus would be like. And this week we're going to be looking at Moses, and then next week we're looking at John the Baptist. And as we study these key individuals, we find that their lives and then their foreshadowing of who Jesus will be really pointed to a king, an expected king that was going to be completely different than what people thought the Messiah was going to be. Also, last week we talked about how the overall theme of the Old Testament and the New Testament, all of that put together, is God's redemptive and restorative plan to bring back to creation and back to humanity all his intentions when God originally created all that there is. And before, you know, Adam and Eve's fall from the garden and sin entered this world. And in this redemptive plan, we find that the stories of people in the Old Testament, these stories always, especially the major stories, they always point to the coming Messiah. Every major story of the Old Testament, every prophecy, every promise, every covenant that God created with Israel, it was all a foreshadow of what was coming. The Messiah was coming. Jesus was coming. And the prophets, they got little glimpses of what this was going to be like, and they longed to understand the whole story of it. Of all the key people that we find in the Old Testament, the one that is most prominent in foreshadowing Jesus is Moses. He's a prime example of a person born specifically to redeem God's people. And Moses is very unique in God's redemptive plan. Not only was he the first prophet for the Israelites, but he was also the only prophet who functioned also as a mediator between God and the Jewish people. In many ways, Moses was a leader, like the judges that came after him, but he was also a prophet who God used to do some amazing things. Just think of those 10 plagues that God used Moses to do, you know, and that caused Pharaoh to finally let the Israelites leave Egypt. But also Moses acted like a priest. Several times Moses asked God to spare the wayward, grumbling Israelites and asking him not to wipe them out from his wrath. I mean, Moses even asked God at one point to wipe his name out of the book of life rather than wiping out the Israelites because of their great sin. And this, Moses was a type of Christ in that he was the redeemer of the old covenant. Like Samson, Moses was born with a specific plan to redeem God's people. And yet, this story fits really well in the Advent season. Because Advent, it looks toward the Messiah's second coming for us and remembers his first coming as a baby in the manger. And the church today is in a very similar situation as Israel was at the end of the Old Testament that we heard Laura talking about. We are now in exile in a world that's not our home, and we're waiting and we're hoping in prayerful expectation for the second coming of the Messiah. Israel, they looked back to God's gracious past actions on their behalf and leading them out of Egypt in the Exodus. And so they look back at what God did in the past, and they asked God at the end of the Old Testament to once again intervene again, that he would finally send the Messiah. And so they've been waiting, and they're waiting, as Laura talked about, in expectation. It was almost to the point where they had given up waiting. In the same way, the church, during Advent, we look back at Christ's first coming in celebration as a baby, while at the same time looking forward in eager anticipation of his second coming, of Christ's kingdom, when he returns for his people and finally sets everything right the way it was meant to be in the beginning. Just like with Isaac, events in Moses' life can be seen to foreshadow Jesus' life. In fact, you'll find it's pretty amazing how many things foreshadow his life. I mean, just a couple of them. In Exodus chapter 2, we see Moses kept safe by his mother for 3 months before she set him out in that basket on the Nile River when he's found by Pharaoh's daughter. And miraculously, Pharaoh's daughters moved to keep this child as one of her own, which allowed him to grow up and become the man that God used to set his people free. Here we find God's hand at work in the history of Israel, preserving the life of one child, Moses, who will become Israel's deliverer. And this foreshadowed Jesus's, as a baby, his flight into Egypt when Herod demanded the death of all the boys in Bethlehem up to the age of 2. God again keeping a child safe, Jesus, who would later die on a cross for the forgiveness of sins of anyone who would believe in him and accept his gracious free gift of forgiveness. Moses, the prophet, he foreshadowed the ultimate prophet, Jesus Christ. Now, a prophet is a messenger. It's a messenger sent by God. It's a person who speaks for God. He or she is a witness to God. And a prophet calls people to confession of sins. And sometimes prophets also foretell what might would end up happening in the future. And in all of this, both Moses and Jesus were prophets. So here are some really interesting parallels between Moses' life and Jesus' life. So you start out at the beginning, you have an evil king, Pharaoh, who tried to kill all of the babies, which would have included all the baby boys, including Moses. And so we find this scripture in Exodus 1:22. It says, "Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people, 'Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live.'" And so the backstory of this is there's just a lot of the Hebrews, and they used them as slaves, but they were afraid of them. They were starting to get to be too many of them. They're afraid they would revolt, and so they're trying to thin out how many are being born. We have this in Jesus' story also. King Herod tried to kill baby Jesus. Matthew 2, verse 16 says, "Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. So he sent soldiers to kill all the boys in around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance." You might think, well, that's just a coincidence. One thing, okay, let's look at some more. Moses was hidden from this evil king, the Pharaoh. Exodus 2:2 says the woman, his mom, became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that Moses was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. And then, in Jesus' story, an angel told Mary and Joseph to hide the child, baby Jesus, from this evil King Herod. Matthew 2, verse 13 says, "After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother,' the angel said. 'Stay there till I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.'" How about some more similarities? Moses was sent into the palace of Egypt to preserve his life. And Jesus was taken into Egypt to preserve his life. Pharaoh's daughter adopted Moses. Joseph adopted Jesus. Of course, Joseph wasn't Jesus' father. The Holy Spirit, God, was. Moses became a prince of Egypt, and Jesus is the Prince of Peace. As was talked with Laura, there's this long period of silence in the Bible. There's this period of silence where we know about Moses as a child, and then we don't know anything until all of a sudden he's rising up and he is killing this Hebrew, this Egyptian who is trying to, you know, be mean to the Hebrew slaves. And then we find the same thing with Jesus. We know his birth story. And we find out a little bit about him when he's age 12, when he's at the temple and he gets left there and his parents kind of freak out, you know. But then we don't hear anything about Jesus until his ministry begins. There's these long periods of silence. Moses has a secret identity. He was a Jew. Jesus had a secret identity. He was the Messiah, the Son of God. As I said just before, Moses tried to save a Hebrew kinsman. That passage is from Hebrews 2, 11 and 12, where it says, many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. And during his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews, and after looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid the body in the sand. Even at that time, Moses felt this urge, this calling to save his Hebrew kinsmen, but he did it in his own strength, and he kind of messed things up. He had to flee into the desert. Jesus came to save his Hebrew kinsmen first. We have this story in Mark chapter 7, 26 to 29, and it seems like a weird story to us when we hear it, but you got to see what Jesus is trying to do with the words he said. And so it says, and she begged him, this is this woman who's a Gentile, she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. And since she was a Gentile born in Syria, Phoenicia, Jesus told her, first, I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. And she replied, that's true, Lord. But even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates. Verse 29, good answer, he said. Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter. Jesus is testing her. Will she be offended? She's not offended. She continues to pursue the healing, and Jesus gives her that. Moses went from being a prince to a pauper, losing everything, exiled to the desert, on the run, wanting for murder. Jesus went from being God in heaven to being man, from having all that heaven was available to him to living in poverty here on earth. Jesus really did give up everything. Moses became a shepherd. Exodus 3 verse 1 says, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. So when he fled, he went into the desert. He ended up marrying this priest's daughter, and he had sheep. And so he became a shepherd of his sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. John 10 verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Moses' mission was to redeem Israel from slavery to Egypt. And Jesus' mission is to redeem all mankind from slavery to sin. Moses was often rejected by his own people. They're grumbling and their frustration as he's trying to take them through the desert to the promised land. And Jesus was often rejected and then killed by his own people. Moses was given God's law, the Ten Commandments, on the mountain of Sinai. And Jesus gave the new law, the Sermon on the Mount, from a mountainside. Moses spent 40 days fasting on the mountain. Exodus 34, 28 says, Moses remained there on the mountain with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. In all that time he ate no bread and drank no water. And the Lord wrote the terms of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, on the stone tablets. And Jesus spent 40 days fasting in the desert wilderness to prepare himself for ministry. Matthew 4 verse 2 says, for 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. Moses performed signs and miracles. Just think of all those plagues. Jesus performs signs and miracles. Moses offered his life for the salvation of his people after the sin of the golden calf in Exodus 32 and 33, where it says, but now, if you only forgive their sin, but if not, erase my name from the record you have written. But the Lord replied to Moses, no, I will erase the name of everyone who has sinned against me. And Jesus offered his life for the salvation of the whole world. 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And of course, John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. And so it all boils down to this. Moses is the prophet of the old covenant. He ushered in the sacrificial system of animals for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus is the prophet, priest, and king of a new and everlasting covenant. He was the last sacrificial, perfect lamb for the forgiveness of sins, ushering in the age of the church. I mean, it really is amazing as you look at these two lives, Moses' life and how much he foreshadowed the coming Messiah. But yet, even in all that, Moses was not perfect. He made some mistakes along the way that ultimately kept him out from being able to cross over into the promised land. That test was given to his apprentice, Joshua. Moses could not live up to the standards of the one who would take away the sins of the world. But his life foreshadowed someone who could live up to the standards of the Messiah, who could live that perfect life, who would be willing to lay down his life so that we could have a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. God was coming himself, the second part of the Trinity. God's Son would willingly give up all of heaven, limit himself to the life of a human, to the point of coming into this world as a helpless baby. Yet as we think about our own life, as we kind of detract ourselves from this reality of Scripture, and we think about what we deal with here today, we live in this broken world, and it's just filled with violence and evil. You know, as we consider the violence that's happened in schools, in our own country, and in neighborhoods and cities, as we think about the wars in Ukraine and in the Middle East, all the senseless pain and death, it causes us to cry out to God to make things right, to put death's dark shadows to flight. Our exile in this present world, where what is wrong is being celebrated as being right, and what is holy is considered something to be avoided, even destroyed. It makes us look forward to our future exodus, when we leave this world and go to our eternal home to be with God. And even if we can, as we consider our own sinfulness and our own need for God's grace to lead, it just leads us to pray for the Holy Spirit to renew his work in conforming us into the image of Jesus. So this is my question for you, just to kind of ponder, to think about, to reflect on. What is it in your life that you long for God to set evil and brokenness to right? What are those challenges? What are those wounds? What are those just situations that just don't have an answer, those hurts that stay on forever? What is it where there just doesn't seem a way to get through this challenge, this brokenness? Who is it in your life that seems so far from God and his forgiveness and restoration, but yet we love them and we long for them to understand the gospel and what is available to them if they just turn? This week, bring those things to God in prayer and pray for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think of the life of Moses, the great hero of the faith, even he struggled to accept the calling that you had for him. Even he stumbled and fell at times as he tried to live out your will in his life, as he carried that mantle of leadership that was such a heavy mantle for him. Even in all of the things that you did through his life, even he was not able to live up to the standard of the Messiah. As we think of our own life, how we long to be that example of one who always does what is what we know to do, staying in step with the Holy Spirit as we have stumbled at times, as we have at times done things that have brought pain into our life because of our own choices, the consequences of sin, the consequences of not going to you first, the consequences of trying to do things in our own strength. May you redeem those things in our life. May you heal those memories. May we release those things that you have forgiven. And may we bring those things that we have yet to ask for forgiveness, so that you can restore us, so that we can have that fellowship with you that we're meant to have, so that we can walk in joy and wholeness and purity and righteousness, to have your strength within inside of us, to know that we're in the center of your will. That's what we long for. Sometimes it's a challenge to stay there. Would you encourage us? Would you strengthen us as we even now bring those things to you where we've fallen short? And may you restore us into that relationship with you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for all the ways that you use Scripture to help us understand who you are. All those things that you pointed to that was to help the Israelites understand who you would be, but yet so much of it they missed. May we grasp all that you have for us to understand. May we take just a moment and come just reflect on the beauty of the gospel story of a baby, a helpless baby coming into this world. God, your only son, would grow up to live that perfect life, that could be that perfect lamb, that could fulfill the calling of the Messiah. Jesus, thank you for being willing to lay down your life for us. And that on that third day you rose and are now with God as our advocate and our friend. May we connect with that. May that story not just be a story. May it be real inside of us. May we learn to live it out. Not just a mental thing, but a heart change in us. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.